We are live. I'm so excited to welcome you to the next episode of the Main Character Podcast. Our first guest is Elena Jones. She is an incredible singer-songwriter here in Nashville. She's one of my closest friends. Her energy lights up any room that she walks into, and I am so excited for this conversation today. We are going to be talking all things songwriting, taking chances, and just trusting yourself. So, Elena, welcome. Thank you so much for being here.
Oh my gosh, thank you. That was the sweetest intro. I'm so excited to be a part of this journey and just to hang out with you today. It's always the best, so.
I'm so excited. I would love for you to kick off by letting us know, you know, how you got to Nashville, where you're from originally, and how long you've been here.
Yeah, so I am originally from Charlottesville, Virginia, and honestly, kind of up and down the East Coast. I went to boarding school in Massachusetts for high school and then college in North Carolina, and have lived in other states as well. So an East Coaster by heart, I guess. I lived in Nashville for a couple months in 2020, but then went back home to Virginia because of the pandemic, but came back full time pretty much the beginning of 2022. So I've been here 2 years and it's just been the best and I love it and feel so honored by all the people I've met and experiences I've had. And can I tell how we met too?
Yes, please.
Okay, so Andrea and I met in 2020 during the pandemic. This amazing artist in town, Lindsay L, was doing a songwriting course on Zoom, and I just so happened to see it advertised on Instagram. Is that how you saw it too?
Yes. Okay, yes, cool. I followed her.
Yeah, same. And I was like, okay, like I was still really new to writing. I'd probably written like less than 10 songs in my life. And so same. Was really just eager to absorb new information and learn from some of the best. So signed up, and I think it was like a 4-week class or 5-week.
Yeah,
and so
every Monday.
And so I remember I was living with my parents at the time and would just go down to my little room, and it was awesome. I mean, if nothing else, to learn from Lindsay, but also like because we met. And then there were like little breakout sessions, I guess, yep, with different people, which was cool. And then we just became really quick friends and started writing on Zoom. And then neither of us lived here at the time, which is crazy that now we're both sitting in Nashville.
Because I was in Boston.
Yeah, you were still in Boston. Yep. I was still in Virginia. So yeah, that was like almost 4 years ago.
Yeah, that is wild.
I know.
And I'm forever grateful that we signed up for that course.
Me too.
Because like, I don't know. I feel like we probably would have met.
Yeah.
Guys, you have to know this about Elena. She has literally made the most of every moment she's lived here. She is constantly being her genuine self by meeting new people. And I feel like you're very strategic with your time. Like, I don't feel like you spend your energy and time with people that don't serve you. So that's really inspiring.
That's
sweet.
You give
people chances to write with.
Yeah. Like, obviously my biggest like favorite thing to do is songwriting. And so that's definitely what I spend most of my free time, but I still have like a corporate job that I work during the day full time, like East Coast hours though, which is nice. So I'm usually done around like 4 o'clock or so. So then I can spend those few hours I have left in the day writing or playing writers rounds and stuff. So that's super sweet of you to say, because I definitely haven't always been good at that. But I think especially when you make a big move to a new city and you're trying to kind of do something you haven't done before, it's time is so precious. And I think just getting older too, you realize that like, okay, I want to be as intentional with my time and giving energy to people who give it back to me. And like you said, taking chances both on yourself and on and with other people. I think Nashville is just the most special city in that way, that like everyone here is a creative in some aspect. And so everyone's just looking to make connections and everyone's looking to bring the best into a room or whatever it is.
Yeah, definitely. And I think that leads me to my next question for you, which is, I think I know, but what truly inspired you to start songwriting?
Yeah.
How did you even start? Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah. So growing up, I was always involved in the arts and especially music. Like I did a lot of musical theater as a kid. I was president of my a cappella group and my choir in college. And so music was definitely a staple throughout my whole life, but I never started writing until the pandemic, like songwriting. I love to journal and kind of wrote poetry and stuff growing up a little bit, but nothing seriously, really just for myself, just to process emotions. And I think that's honestly how all songwriters start on some levels. Like I felt like I needed to write.
Yes.
But in 2019, I believe I was traveling back and forth at a consulting job. It was just a rough patch of just a lot of time spent away from things I wanted to be doing. Because when you're traveling for work, it takes up a lot of time. But on my weekends and stuff, I would watch Songland with my parents. And if for those of you who don't know, Songland is an amazing show. I think it had 2 seasons, maybe 3. basically like The Voice or American Idol for songwriters.
It's a cool show.
It's so cool. I wish it was still airing, but I'm forever grateful to that show because it was like a light bulb moment where I realized, oh my gosh, like you can pursue songwriting as a career or just as something independent of being an artist. Like I've never really wanted to be my own like performing artist. That isn't really what's excited me. Yeah, so I watched that show and Shane McAnally, who's just a legend in Nashville. I didn't really know anything about him at
the
time.
He's amazing.
He's amazing and he's so prolific in producing and songwriting, and he was one of the judges on that show, as well as Ryan Tedder and Esther Dean, and they're huge, obviously. Ryan Tedder is the lead singer in One Republic and Esther Dean's just a badass. So
did she write that boom, boom, boom?
Yeah, I think so. Super Bass, so many other songs. If you look her up, she's written probably so many of your favorite pop songs. But so anyways, I was so inspired by that whole journey. They would bring songwriters on the show and they would sing part or a whole song. And then they would all talk about how they could improve it and work with an artist at the time, like who was on the show as well. Anyways, so I just became infatuated by the whole process and started following everybody on Instagram and just learning and whatever, looking at their catalogs on Spotify and all that stuff. So it wasn't until like maybe 6 months after I started watching that show that I just kind of sat down and wrote a song by myself, just sitting on my piano. And I don't even know if you can really call it a song. It was probably like a half-formed verse and chorus. I don't know.
You gotta start somewhere.
But you have to start somewhere. And I think that's like my biggest thing too, is you're never gonna feel fully ready to do anything.
100%.
You should just start. Like your podcast. I mean, you just have to start at some point, right? And you're gonna probably look back on your first episodes and be like, oh, I could have done this or this, but it doesn't matter because you started and that's the important thing and you can improve over time.
Totally. I forget who the quote is, but it was something like, just take the first step. Like you can figure it out along the way. Like you can figure out anything. And like, if you don't start, you'll never feel ready.
You'll never feel ready. I think that's, yes, huge. And so yeah, then I started writing and I don't know. Do you want me to tell the story of my first song?
Okay. Will you tell your first co-writing story?
Sure.
Guys, this is an incredible story.
Sure. So I'll try and make it succinct. But basically, since I really loved Shane, I didn't know what a publishing company was. I just knew he ran this business called Smack Songs. And so I followed them on Instagram. And this was like deep during the pandemic when everyone was doing like happy hours on Zoom and just hanging out with friends and family that way as safety precautions and stuff. Most people weren't in person doing anything.
Right.
So I think a lot of artists and a lot of creatives were looking for ways to connect with others online or their fan bases and everything. So Smack Songs had this contest on their Instagram. You just filled out a form. I honestly don't remember what
I didn't realize it was through Smack.
Yes, it was through Smack. Yeah, I just remember seeing something on their Instagram stories about like when I don't know how they marketed it. Basically, Walker Hayes has this awesome song called Trash My Heart. If you haven't heard it, go listen to it. It's a jam. And they were trying to promote the song. So it was like, Walker's gonna like trash a Zoom, like crash a Zoom. So if you win and he'll sing a song and like leave, that was like the premise. So I won the opportunity to do that. So I set up a little like Zoom happy hour. Carlin was on it and her sister and my family and a couple other people. So maybe like 8 or 10 of us on the Zoom, and Walker joins and just talks to us for an hour maybe. And it was so special. Like he didn't even pick up his guitar to play anything until the very end when we were like, are you going to play a song?
Really?
So it was so special. And this was like my couple month stint that I lived in Nashville in 2020. So I had just really moved here like 3 weeks before that. And I said, you know, I don't know anyone here, but I'm really eager. And like you said, like was just taking those first baby steps. Like I didn't know what the next thing was, but it also didn't like scare me. I was just kind of eager to get started. But
yeah,
especially because COVID and everything, no one really, it was a weird time to start, I think, pursuing songwriting or pursuing something creative in that way, because there wasn't a way to connect in person. So everything was on Zoom anyways. Like I said, we met through an online course that probably would have been in person if it had the option, but it wasn't. And so I think there are good and bad things that came out of that, but a great thing was that a lot of artists were just kind of at home looking for ways to connect. And so I truly don't think this whole thing would have ever happened had the world, you know, he would have been on tour or making music in the studio instead of just at home. So anyways, at the end of that conversation, Walker turned to me and was like, hey, so what are you doing tomorrow? Do you want to write together? And my like heart dropped in like the best way. I was like, oh my gosh, this is crazy. I remember Carlin texted me and was just like, what is happening? This is amazing. I just remember being on Google that night, Googling what is co-writing. I had no idea. And for those of you who aren't in the music world, co-writing is just when you get in a room and write with other people, like with the goal of getting a song out of it. So
I had no idea either when I first
started. I'm just like deep diving Walker's music, like Googling all the stuff, just trying to be as prepared as I could be, I guess. So basically...
Were you nervous?
Yes, I was, but I was also excited and I just felt like, oh my gosh, this is so cool. Like,
yeah.
But overarching feeling was definitely, this is so amazing that someone would take time out of their day to do that with me. And now looking back, I even realize how much cooler it is because for those of you who don't know, Walker is a pretty big deal. Even at the time, like Fancy Lake was his big success, which came out after this, but he still
had traction
was,
and had
you know,
a lot
signed
going
to a record label at the time and all that stuff. He had a lot going on in Nashville. So I was just really honored that he would want to do that. And yeah, so then we got on Zoom and wrote for a couple hours and we just talked for a while too about life. And he was just giving me little tidbits of knowledge of things he picked up over the course of his being in Nashville for, I think, like 15 years at the time. And I'll never forget, he said many things to me, but including that he's like, it never really gets not scary. Like being in a room with someone new, there's always a little bit of butterflies. Like, how is this going to go? Are we going to connect? And I still feel that way when I'm writing with an artist or a writer I haven't met before. It's just a little anxiety provoking. But at the same time, it's so cool that music just connects us all. And we're able to bring, I think the more you can bring your most authentic and vulnerable self to a room, the better the songs are going to be. And he just showed that to me so early on. And I will never forget that he just asked me like what was on my heart. And I think that's such a cool way to open a door to someone you don't know and just getting songs that way. Because sometimes it can feel like, okay, like, are we going to write this really cool hook or write this really cool idea? And oftentimes the best songs I think just come from chatting for 30 or 45 minutes at the beginning of a songwriting session and then using something to pivot that you said off of that.
100%.
So I feel like I learned that from him. And then the other advice that he said was, no, you're only ever one song away. And I think that is so amazing.
I love that.
It was like right before he wrote Fancy Like Two. And he just believed it so wholeheartedly. He'd been here for so long, but hadn't really had that number one smash hit yet. And obviously Fancy Like took the world by storm. So
totally.
Just so cool. So true. Like you could write a hit song just sitting on a couch like we're doing right now. Or you could be in a fancy writing room. It doesn't matter. And I just feel like the kindness Walker showed by writing with me early on and just how open and honest as a human he is something that I try to carry into my future every day.
Definitely. And like, it just shows who he is as a person.
100%.
Because even when you run into him now, like he's still the same person.
Yes. I saw him at Whiskey Jam a couple weeks ago and he just gave me a big hug and said it was amazing to see me. And he's always, you know, going out of his way to be kind. And I think to not just me, but everybody who he interacts with. So then to finish that story out, basically then we finished the song with this amazing artist, Kylie Morgan. If you don't know her, go look up her music. She's awesome. She's also based in Nashville. And basically she had a very similar story to what I did. And so we finished the song together on Zoom again, which is amazing because I think that's only like the successful Zoom story I've ever had.
I know.
Like it's just so much easier to write in person. It can be hard, but we really worked that day. And the song is called Country Anyway. It ended up on Kylie's EP. It came out July 2022, which is also the timeline is wild. Like that song, we wrote it almost 2 years before it came out. And so for those of you who also might not know in the music industry, that can be pretty typical of when you write a song, it can just sit there for a while or go through the process of being demoed and then deciding to be on an album or not, especially when people are signed to major labels, which Kylie is. So yeah, it came out and Walker was actually featured on the song. So yeah, it's called Country Anyway. I would love it if you took a listen. It's so cool to have had that as my first cut and my first co-write. It's just so super special and something I don't take for granted.
Totally. And it's such a jam. I love it.
Oh, say.
And I still remember like when you played it for me the first time we were driving around Music Row. It's wild to think of how far you've come in that short period of time.
Yeah, it really is. I do remember that. We were driving by like Smack and Big Loud and everything.
Yeah.
And I was like, listen, I got the final back. So thanks for being there. Like
since
the start, basically, of all of us. So.
No, I'm so grateful we became such good friends.
Same.
And we write together. And a couple of the things that you said leads me to my next question. I think you've given a lot of great tips and nuggets for people to take away. But what is some advice that you would give to someone that's interested in songwriting, really feels like they have a knack for it, and just getting started?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think if you have the means and capability to move to Nashville, especially if you want to be a country music songwriter, or if you want to maybe pursue the pop world or other genres, I know LA is really great for that, but basically just putting yourself in the mix of where the most art that you want to write is created. I think that is the biggest piece of advice that I've heard from some of our like songwriting heroes. I know Shane and Walker say that. I've heard them on podcasts and other people. But if that's not in your future currently at the moment, I think a lot of what I did was there's like certain books you can order, like, it's called Writing Better Lyrics, I believe is what it is. It's by Pattinson.
I'll have to look into that.
It's great. I remember reading that early on, and it just has some great advice in it. I believe he's a professor at Berklee College of Music. Then there's a lot of great podcasts. Some that I really love are And the Writer Is. A great podcast that interviews successful songwriters and talks about their journeys. There's another one out that's pretty new called 10-Year Town that is started by Troy Cartwright. Based here in Nashville, it's super inspiring. He has everyone from artists like Hardy on to more behind-the-scenes session musicians as well as producers and everything. So it's kind of the whole spread of the music industry, which I think is very awesome, and publishers and stuff too.
Yeah.
And then there's another one called Songwriting Soup, I think is what it is, by Laura Veltz. And that is also pretty new.
Heard that.
You should check it out. It's really great too. So those are just some more concrete examples, but I think just making the most of whatever stage you're in and trying not to rush it either. I also, not to bring Walker back up again, but it's just so relevant to this. I remember he said, like, your first 100 songs don't even count. And he's like, I don't mean that in like a cynical way. I just mean that you'll look back on those first 100 and realize like how much you've improved and how much you know how to write a song now compared to when you started those first 100. And I was like, oh my gosh, that's crazy. In my head, like hundreds, so many. But yeah, and then 2022, I really challenged myself to write 100 songs, which I did. And that was exciting. So I feel like, yeah, being on the flip side of that, I do really see a lot of growth just in the way I approach songwriting. And getting in the room with people, if you can co-write, is just the best advice I have. Just learning through experience, learning from people who are better than you. Mm-hmm. I think always trying to absorb as much information from those who've been doing it longer or just have a different style. Like, I am very much a lyrics person, and I can come up with melodies and stuff too, but I am not really proficient at guitar or anything like that. I can plunk out chords on a keyboard enough to write a song, but I wouldn't say instrumentation is not my like strong suit. But I can really craft a great idea, I think, and pride myself in kind of being a good listener in a room if there's an artist and helping pull out details of their story to tell. So knowing like what you bring to a room and how important that is huge. And honestly, just like getting out of your own way too.
100%.
And just don't be a perfectionist about anything, because there's always going to be a better lyric. There's always going to be a better way to do something. But knowing kind of when to just walk away or walk away for the day and come back to a song later. Walker also said songwriting has no timeline. Like, there's no deadline.
Yep.
If you feel like you haven't gotten to the meat of a song yet, feel free to come back to it. And I've done that with so many songs I've even had with artists that have come out, have taken 2 or 3 sessions sometimes just to get it exactly right in a way that portrays the emotions behind a song or storytelling. Sometimes it takes a while, and a 3-hour writing session isn't going to do it sometimes. Yeah. And other times it will. And there's beauty in that too, and just kind of letting it be.
I actually was going to ask you what purpose you think you serve in the room. And I know that that can change. I know that you're very strong lyricist and melodies, but I know that that can pivot depending on who's in the room.
Totally.
And also the other question was, if you can talk, I know that this will depend again on the sessions, but when you sit down and you're about to start writing a song, whether you're co-writing or you're writing yourself, what is your process? And what I mean by that is, I've been asked this too, like, do you want to hear a beat first or do you want to hear a track first? For me, I come up with lyrics and melodies in my head first and jot some notes down, and then I'll bring that into the room, or we'll start like that way. And then I feel like in country songwriting, the chords can come after that. But what's your sweet spot?
Yeah, I think, well, I usually get all my ideas either when I'm driving or in the shower or basically when my brain is shut off from actually thinking about songwriting. I think that's the funny thing about the creative process, is often the best thoughts come when you're not even, when you're just kind of taking in the world. And I think your subconscious brain can just process what you've been seeing that day. Or I love to eavesdrop on conversations in coffee shops just to get little one-liners. So I have like a notes app, and I just like call it my hook book, but it's really just more quotes. Or if I'm inspired by something someone says on a podcast or in a book I'm reading, I'll jot it down. And I try and not be too judgmental about them. Like, some are trash and some are really good. You never know what's going to turn into something though, right? Or what will spark someone else in a room to be like, oh, I relate to that too.
Yeah.
I'm actually reading this book by Rick Rubin right now called The Creative Act. Have you read it?
No,
it's amazing.
I've seen some of the snippets on Instagram.
It's awesome.
And I've been interested.
So what he said, I thought this is so interesting, is basically just viewing the world through a creative lens. And when you are inspired by something, it's kind of like collecting seeds. And I thought that imagery was so real for songwriting, right? So I feel like my little notes app is my seeds of that I'm collecting through conversations or overhearing everyone or whatever. So that's kind of my process, is just having an idea of stuff. Sometimes I'll flesh them out on my own, and something might trigger me to create a chorus or a verse based on that. But oftentimes I'm just like, I have this title or I have this line that could be in a song. What do you guys think about it? Yeah. And then see if the artist in the room, or if I'm just writing with songwriters too, if it inspires them. I also love writing with someone who's super good at guitar and just comes in and has a guitar riff. Like, for example, yes. I write with this artist all the time, Maggie Ball. You guys should look her up. She's incredible. She constantly has these riffs that she makes up, and just it helps set the mood to be like, ooh, okay, I wonder if I have any ideas that can go over that, or just conversations that I've had with people like, ooh, that sets this tone.
Yeah.
So I think it's awesome to write. Or like when we write with Noah, like he's so good at coming in with guitar ideas.
Yeah. And he'll just, similar to Meg, like they'll just start playing it.
And it's
awesome.
And
then from there we can kind of pull, oh, I thought of this, or like this melody's kind of in the back of my head, even if it's subconscious.
Yeah. You know?
And the creative juices get flowing.
Totally.
Yeah.
It's just really, collaboration is just my very favorite thing in the world. I feel like you and I are both so big on connection and
100%
human connection. And there's just, when the energy is right in a room, it just kind of happens. I don't know how to describe it. It's not like lyrics always come first or melodies. Oftentimes the best songs, I think, overlap at the same time.
Yeah.
Like, ooh, let's sing this lyric this way. And then that might inspire the whole song. So
yeah, definitely.
That's kind of my process. But yeah, it varies every single day.
Yeah. Thank you for sharing that.
Of course.
I feel like I'm learning so much
here,
too.
Oh, my gosh.
I have to ask, because we love manifesting.
Oh, yeah.
Who is your dream cut that I know you will attain one day? Who would be your dream artist?
Probably Kacey Musgraves or Kelsea Ballerini.
Oh, yeah. I can see that.
Yeah. Or, I don't know, country music legends such as, like, Tim McGraw would be amazing.
Yeah.
Someone like that, too, that has just been around since our childhood, I think would be so cool to have a song end up on their album one day. I also love Ingrid Andres. I've been lucky enough to meet her in a few different locations in Nashville, just at coffee shops or random, like, events, and she's just the funniest, coolest person ever. I would love to collaborate with her one day.
I see that.
Yeah, I'm really excited for the new Kacey music.
Yes. I listen to Deeper Well.
Yes. It's very interesting.
To put your heart on your sleeve like that and put deep lyrics like that into the world, like, I commended her just listening
100%,
to that. I was
so
like, that
vulnerable.
Is so hard to put a song like that out, but it's such a beautiful thing to do.
It
then
is.
You're like letting other people relate to it.
It's very inspiring.
But I was like, I don't know if I would have had the courage to release a song like that. And it really hit me when I listened to it.
It was beautiful. I know. I'm very excited for the whole album.
And then I think I talked about this a little bit too earlier, that one of the things I admire about you is how much you're able to balance it all, soak up every moment, and really make the most of every single day. How do you what does that look like? How does Elena set herself up for the day to be ready for all of those different areas that you have to give energy and show up as your best self? Because you do it so beautifully.
That's so kind of you to say. Some days I think I'm better at juggling it than others. And I know we talk about this constantly of, today's just a lot. And it's not a lot in a bad way. Like, we might have 5 or 6 things to do, but they're all really inspiring or energizing. And I think that's the key. Like, looking at your calendar and saying, taking a hard look in the mirror and being like, how many of these things do I actually want to do? Of course, you might have, like, things that you can't control. Like, I really do enjoy my job. I think that helps, too. And I work remotely, so I don't have to commute to the office. Like, there's so much time saved on the back end of things that I'm able to really prioritize my music in the afternoons and evenings. And, yeah, I was really trying to be intentional, especially at the top of this year, about only writing with people I really believe in or I really, like we said, just vibe with. Sometimes you just get in a room and you're like, this person's an amazing writer, but I just feel like we didn't connect on a soul level or in the creative realm.
And it happens a lot.
It does. And it's not a bad thing,
no.
Right? But I think, like, being able to pinpoint that and, like, use it just kind of as data points. And then, okay, maybe we don't have to write together again or not as often as we are.
Yeah.
And then just really honing in on the people you want to spend your time with and the things you want to be doing.
Yeah.
I remember this quote I heard a couple years ago. I feel like it kind of rocked my world. It's not even that profound, but it's just saying, like, your days make up your life.
Yeah. Wow.
Like, how you spend your days is how you spend your life.
Yeah.
And so if your days are just constantly draining you, those turn into weeks, turn into months, turn into years, and suddenly you're not in a place you want to be in, right?
Yeah.
And I think we've all had seasons of that. And of course, a lot of it is out of our control, but there's so much in a day you can control. I also try and, I would say I'm pretty good about this 5 or 6 days a week, keeping, like, a daily gratitude practice.
Yeah.
So I just take out my journal and write a page worth of things I'm grateful for.
Yeah.
And then I journal almost every morning. I try and be as unfiltered with it as I can. Just whatever's in my brain. I mean, I think anyone who has any form of anxiety or it's just so easy to get in your own head, and just brain dumping something onto paper for me has been so helpful. And then I try and meditate every morning, but not only 5 or 10 minutes. Like, none of this is taking me more than 20 or 30 minutes. And I think for me, that's key. If I tried to create a morning routine that took me an hour, like, I would never do it.
Same.
It's just finding what works for you, I think, is really critical. Like, of course, there's so much advice out there on social media or online in general about morning routines or how to get your mind right. And I think it's just about trying things out until you find something that feels good for you.
Yes.
And sets you up for the day. I know you meditate and everything too.
I do. Yeah. And like you said, there's days that I'm like, okay, I need a full 20 minute meditation.
Yep.
I sit in this little corner. Yes. I'm like, I need to just sit here, do the deep breath work. I use this app. It's Evolve by Erica. I've been using it for years, but I really enjoy her methods, and I'll either do 20, but then I think it was yesterday. I was like, my mind can only do 5 minutes. Right.
Yep.
Now.
Exactly.
So a quick breath work, and I think it's just honoring where you're at. And I've noticed that, similar to you, I just show up better if I take that 5 minutes.
Yes.
I'm a better person to every interaction
yes.
around me. If I want to get better at journaling every day, I do it a couple times a week.
That's so great.
When we get everything out and we're processing our own emotions, you just show up better.
Things feel less scary when you can just put them somewhere else. Or you can, like you said, breath work, meditation, get something out of you. I also love going to yoga or spin classes and things. Group exercise classes are great for me. I know you love them too. Just being in a room in a collective with other people. So it's just really about, I guess balance is something I'm learning.
It's
truly on my vision board for this year.
Yeah.
It's funny. My friend Garrett actually pointed this out to me, that I put a photo of my vision board on Instagram, and he replied, he's like, I love that you have both all and balance on your vision board. And I didn't even realize that. I was just kind of cutting out things from magazines that I resonated with. But he's like, no, I think it's possible to do both. Like, go all in on whatever you want, but also creating balance, and like, both are okay. And
yeah.
I was like, wow, that is profound. So shout out Garrett. Love you.
Yes. Because you think they're opposites, but they don't have to be.
They don't have to be.
Yeah.
And my best friend Kate will probably laugh too. She's like, you do need more balance in your life. So I always text her on days. I'm like, I'm doing nothing today. Aren't you proud of me?
Yeah.
And it's just like so funny because I don't know. I just think it's great to, when you can take rest and when you can take more hours to breathe and just be with yourself. I love going on solo dates to the movies. It's kind of a random aside, but finding something that you can just do by yourself to just calm you down is so great.
Yes.
Or going to the gym. I don't know. There's a whole host of things you can do, but.
No, I'm big
on taking time.
Yeah. Even, like you said, having that one thing that you look forward to.
It can be
silly. It can be like in the middle of my day, I'll be like, you know what? I need a little treat. I'll take a quick 15-minute walk, get a coffee.
100%.
And like, that makes me smile, you know?
Like, another quote. I think, honestly, I heard it from Tanks. It's like,
We love Tanks.
Don't postpone joy or something.
Wow.
Or like, having fun is fun. Like, her quotes about that. It's just so true. Like, if you can lean into something that feels good to you in the moment, like, do it. Oh, another thing that came up the other day in a songwriting session, my friend Tyler Bank was saying, there's this really good song by Rabel. If you haven't heard it, it's called Good.
Okay.
And it's like, don't let a good thing turn bad. Like, let good be good, basically. And just letting something that feels right soak it in and not. Like,
I have to listen to that.
It's great. It's so simple. It's a good reminder to come back to, I don't know, yourself.
Yeah.
And what you feel brings you joy. And that's different every day, and it's different for everyone.
And that reminded me too, like you were saying about that song and even what you mentioned about Tanks. This is a different, I don't know where I saw it, but it was a quote somewhere. It was something like, you don't have to save your best perfume for like a Saturday night.
Yes.
Or you don't have to save like your favorite top, wear it on the Tuesday, make yourself feel good. You don't have to save that, you know, your favorite candle, light it tonight. And it's just so true because every day we're here is such a gift. So
it is.
Like, and
I think
joy in those moments.
Yeah, life is so precious. And I think as I've gotten older, you realize, like you said, every day is a gift. And finding the little things that bring you happiness is so important. So I don't know. I'm not the best at balancing things, but that's just stuff that I try and keep top of mind to help me on like crazy days.
Yeah. Well, you're very inspiring in how you juggle it all. I'll look and I'll be like, how is she at a right, at another right, at a round? And just, she's always showing up 100%, which is really incredible. So kudos to you. My next question, I hope it doesn't make us too emotional here.
Oh
but
my God.
Because I try and reflect a little bit about this too periodically. And it's hard because when we're in these moments, we're like, okay, I can't see how far I've come. I can't see how 10 years ago I was this completely different version of me and like how far I've come and all these things I probably manifested and dreamed about and didn't realize. If you could go back and tell 18-year-old Elena something.
Oh my gosh. I'm like actually tearing up right now. No, it's fine. It's probably the glass of wine I'm drinking too. But
what would you tell her?
Specifically at 18, there was this moment where I just graduated high school. Like I said, I went to boarding school. And I remember there was this career day where they had people from all walks of life come back who had graduated and like speak on their career. And there was like a finance guy there. There was, I don't know, someone else maybe in healthcare. And then there was this guy who was a director on a movie set. And his name's Woody Travers. I think it's his last name. Woody is definitely his first name. And I just remember feeling so drawn to his speech. And like I said, I did a cappella in high school and I did musical theater. So I was involved in the arts, but you know, it wasn't like my main focus. Obviously I was a student at the time. So I went up and talked to him. And then long story short, he was working on The Intern. Have you seen that movie? It's so good. It's with Anne Hathaway and Robert De Niro.
Yes, I have seen it.
So he was working on that. He was like an assistant director. And he's like, you know, here's my business card. If you want to come shadow me on a set for a week or two this summer, like come in New York. What? So I went for a week.
Wow.
I don't even know if I've told you the story.
No, and I've never heard this.
It was so cool. I just basically got to just shadow him for a day and listen in and see. There's so many interesting aspects of a movie set that you just don't
realize. So they're filming that movie?
Yeah, they're filming it. I can like tell you the exact scenes I saw from the week, and it was just so inspiring. And I just had this like, I remember sitting on the subway after that on the last day being like, that is so cool. And if I can do something like that creatively for the rest of my life, I think I'd be so happy. But I just felt scared in the moment of like what that would mean to actually pursue a life in the arts, I guess.
Yeah.
And I always held on to that like seed of like knowing I needed to like fully immerse myself in a creative field at some point.
And I
guess my advice at 18 would be to like lean into what feels good. Like we were just saying, what feels good, what intuitively feels right. There was just something magical about being on that movie set. And I mean, I was just about to go off to college and I did musical things, but I wasn't like creating, if that makes sense. Like I was singing other people's words and lyrics.
You weren't tapping in
I wasn't tapping into the creator in myself literally until I turned 25 when I started songwriting. And I think that seed of creativity has always been there, but I wish I would have maybe, I don't want to like say I'd go back and do everything different by any means, but finding more ways to bring that out and honor that. So that's what I would tell 18-year-old self, just lean into things that feel true. Even when they might not, when they feel off the beaten path. Because to me, I was like, oh no, of course I'm going to go to college. And I'm so glad I did, obviously.
Yeah.
And I love my job and all that stuff. It's not that that part of me isn't important, but I think just tapping into that creator side earlier was what I would tell myself.
I think I would similarly too, because I was scared. I think at that age, it was like
scary.
It's scary to be like, oh my gosh, like how can I have this big dream that's like so different from what everyone expects you to be doing? Thank you for sharing that story. That is so cool.
Well, and I remember when I first came to Nashville, this also makes me emotional to think about like pulling off the highway for the first time and like being here and meeting people. I was like, whoa, I feel like I finally found people who are exactly like me or think like me and are just creative. And to be in a hub of people like that, I think it's so easy to take that for granted. But the fact that, I don't know, I probably wrote 4 or 5 songs last week with people who are inspiring and inspire me to be better and do better and all that stuff is just so cool. And then I get to be in a band now. And
I know.
Just all this stuff that I don't think I would have even believed a few years ago.
Yeah. So inspiring. I'm a little speechless because like it's pretty crazy to look back and think about.
It is. Because that was a decade ago for me. I just turned 29. So
I know that I kind of asked about some advice for people that are looking to get into songwriting and taking that leap of faith. But I would love to hear, because I think you'd have some good advice for this too. Someone that's maybe not necessarily feeling stuck, but looking to make a change, whether it's their job, whether it's moving to a new city, whether it's leaving that relationship, whether it's just tapping into being more of their truer version of their authentic self, and they're scared because this was me 2.5 years ago. I was moving here not knowing anyone. What do we say to the, like, because I would say,
just go. Like, if something feels like it's pulling you, I think you're going to regret not doing it more than you do just going.
100%.
Because you can always move back home, or you can always move to where you came from. You can always go back to your comfort zone, I guess. But you can't, life's short. Like we said, every day's a gift. And if you feel called to do something or pulled in one direction or another, just go. What's the worst thing that can happen? You tried.
Yeah.
And you're going to keep failing and you're going to keep growing. And I think that's the beautiful thing about life is everyone's path is different. And if you feel like you need to make a change, you probably do. Or yeah. It'll probably serve you better to make some kind of change, whether that's in a relationship or moving to a new city or... I mean, I knew absolutely nothing about songwriting, and I still feel like I'm just cracking the surface on, like, really knowing how to write a great song. But, I mean, I'm way better right now than I was 3 years ago,
yeah. And
that's beautiful. And if I'd never picked up a pen on a piece of paper to write a first lyric down, I don't know where I'd be right now, so.
Yeah. No, I love that, because I even...
Just jump right in.
Just jump in. Do it scared.
Yeah, do it scared.
Yeah.
It's just one step after the other, yeah. too, you know?
Yeah, definitely. And then I wanted to end on something, whether, and again, thank you so much for chatting.
Of course. Thanks for having me.
Tips. This is so fun. You're definitely going to have to come on again. And we'll see where you are a year from now, and it'll be incredible. So if you could, it doesn't even have to be a quote, but something that has really resonated with you or something that you would want to leave everyone here with to remember.
Oh my gosh. I feel like things I would have said earlier on, I already mentioned about like not postponing joy and... I guess, yeah, maybe it's just take the first step. Like, you never know where it's going to lead. And, like, leading with an open heart.
Yes.
And I don't know. I think that can take you so many places. Just as an example, like, I remember when I met Kate for the first day, like, I was texting. I'm like, oh, I'm, like, kind of nervous to go to this coffee or whatever. And you're like, just go. Like, you never know.
Yeah.
And that's, you're just never going to know, right? And now... She's like my best friend and I'm in her band. And
yes. And
I just think like just taking that first step, just going to that coffee, going to write with someone, even if it pushes you outside of your comfort zone or like we said, moving to a new city, just taking that first little baby step, you have no idea the chain reaction of events it could occur later.
Yeah.
And if you don't put yourself out there, like you're never going to know.
Yeah. Yeah. And as scary as it can be to go on that, whatever, go meet with someone, go on a date. Have coffee, go to that first write. I can honestly say, and I'm sure you can relate to this, like, I've at least either met a really cool person. That's, like, the best case scenario.
Yes.
The worst case scenario is you
took up an hour of your time. Who cares?
Maybe you learned something about yourself. You had an interaction or you take something from everything. So I love that. And I love you so much.
I love you.
Thank you for being here.
You're the best. I'm so excited to hear all the upcoming guests on this podcast. And look at you taking the first step and making an amazing podcast. And I'm just honored to be here and be your friend.
Thank you. I love you. Love you guys. We'll talk to you next time. And as always, I am sending you all of the love and light in the world. Mwah.
Mwah.